today on Real Radio.
When you've come to the end of your life, like Peter is at the end of his life, he's going to tell you, you're going to say to somebody the most important things in your life. The most important thing you can tell them. He's not going to tell stories. Hey, listen, I've got minutes to live. Let me tell you a story. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about truth, eternal truth.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, now in a message called Where Is Your Faith? Part 3, continues a series called Combat Faith, a study in 2 Peter. Peter was a disciple of Jesus Christ who later on became the leader of the first church. Peter's letters take us full circle on what it really means to be a follower of Christ. 1 Peter gives us encouragement and strength for the uncertain and perilous times in which we live. 2 Peter challenges us to have the kind of faith that's active and ready for battle against the very forces of darkness. When we consider the short amount of time we have here on earth, really, we need to reflect upon the lives that we're living. Our faith is about coming face to face with the real issues of life. We ask ourselves questions like, have we done enough to forward the gospel? Did we allow ourselves to be used by God? And are we taking a good hard look at how it's going to go for us on the day of judgment? So today on day one of this message, Pastor Jack tells us that since the Bible makes claims that are absolutes, then we have the assurance that our faith is ground in truth. Our faith is not found in any system. Church membership, that's not going to get you into heaven. The only way to be saved is by faith in Jesus Christ and really believing that God raised him from the dead. And now in his message called Where's Your Faith? Part 3, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
We're looking at 2 Peter chapter 1 and the intent of the Apostle Peter to write this second epistle to the church of the first century throughout the Roman Empire. And he's announcing to them that now that they've learned about the security of their salvation and the fact that suffering is a great thing when committed to the hands of Jesus for our lives, suffering creates in us a tremendous ability to endure and to persevere. He launches out to them 2 Peter, which is all about them having a militant faith. A combat faith is our theme. A faith that is strong. A faith that is unflinching. A faith that is not a warm and fuzzy, but a faith that is able to take you all the way through life, each and every day, and all the way to the brink of death itself, and then to take you over into the presence of Almighty God. That is Peter's letter to us in the second epistle, and we're looking at this tremendous thing about faith, and we're looking at a series entitled, Where Is Your Faith? As we've said in this series and earlier studies, that faith is something that is operated by each and every one of us, even if we were to claim today that we have no faith, that we would be, in fact, atheists, which is an oxymoronic statement, because if you're an atheist, that means that you believe in something that you've made up. We all have faith. The Bible is challenging us to have our faith in God. And we opened up our studies looking at the first argument, and it was in verses 12 to 15 regarding the question, where is your faith? And we looked at the question about it being grounded. Remember that. Mark it down if you don't remember this, that your faith as a Christian, when you say you're a Christian, what are you saying? Well, you're saying that your faith is a grounded faith, that your faith is grounded in truth. And we learned three things about that in those verses. We learned that true biblical faith based upon the Bible is not new. It's not something that is new. It's not something that has recently been discovered. Whenever you hear about the Discovery Channel or the History Channel or some program saying, we've just discovered some new documents. And by the way, we're in that time of the year again. People, wake up, watch for it. Watch for it. We're entering the Christmas season. You're going to see all these crazy programs about the latest discovery of some ancient document that proves something or rather. listen, this comes every year, and every year people just get to laugh it off. There's nothing new. When somebody says, oh, I've got a new revelation from God, listen, don't worry about it. Know this, that your faith is grounded in the truth, and it's not anything new. It's been there in the Word of God from the beginning, from the day of creation itself. We learned also, happily, that it's not from any man. I like that. I mean, I just want to revel in that one, that we don't follow some faith system because some fancy man created it, some persuasive person invented it. Think about that for a moment. Look, I'm going to warn you right now. I'm not feeling very well, so I feel a little ornery today. And so maybe that's good, maybe that's bad. I'm telling you right now. There are those who follow a religious movement or group that are called cults. And they're always rooted on a person. Always. Thank God our faith is founded upon the Word of God, the Bible. And from Genesis to Revelation, it's not about some mere mortal, some man, like the cults are today. And then we saw last time, thirdly, this, that it's not in any system. The fact that you and I are not going to go to heaven because we are members of some church. You and I are not going to go to heaven because we were baptized in somebody's water. There are groups out there, people, that say you cannot go to heaven unless you're baptized in their water. Isn't that weird? Where do they get the water? What a weird thing that is. There are groups that are saying this, groups that are saying that. Hallelujah, listen up, everybody. There is no group nor church on this planet that has the authority to rob from you the truth of God's word. Listen, Reformation period or not, the answer is in God's word and not some system. Yes, thank God, through the efforts of Martin Luther and Latimer and many others, the truth was re-exposed to mankind and brought out of a controlling system that took the Bible and made it that only the priesthood could know the Bible. And then the individual priest would tell the people what to believe and how to do it and what's next. And the people were in ignorance. They didn't know what to do because they had no Bible to match up against what was being said from the pulpits. And then God touched a group of radicals. You know why they were radicals? Men like John Knox, Wycliffe, Tyndale, Luther, Calvin, others. God began to stir their hearts because their passions went for the Word of God, not for some system. If I were to stand here today and say, you need to become a member of Calvary Chapel to go to heaven, you ought to grab me by the ear and march me right out of this place. In fact, I'd grab myself by the ear and march myself right out of this place. Were you listening carefully? Our young people are reading these online dictionaries today, and if any of us graduated from the third grade, we can tear that statement apart. It is absolutely contradictory by what it says. It starts out with a declaration of objective truth and ends with truth being whatever you want it to be. That's insane. No wonder why we have a bunch of people walking around confused. The truth of the matter is, God's people should never be confused about biblical truth. The Bible knows nothing about this inability to have a conclusion. In the book of Acts, chapter 1, verse 1, Luke, the author of the book of Acts, writes, the former account, which is pretty cool. The history of the book of Acts is kind of awesome. A man by the name of Theophilus commissioned Luke to write down all things, to go gather and to go do research and to make an account of all things that had happened up until the date of Luke's writing since the advent of Christ and his ministry. So he says, the former account, that's Luke, made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach until the day in which he was taken up, after he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen. Verse 3. To whom he also presented himself alive after his suffering, that is his death and resurrection. What does this say? By many infallible proofs. Friends, listen. Please, if you don't know the demeanor of this church or of my heart, I never want you to believe anything unless you know why you should believe in it. Don't you dare follow us because we think, you know, hey, you should follow us. We're Christians, follow us. Okay, I'll follow you because you guys are Christian. Don't you dare. You should know what you believe. Listen to what Luke is saying. Theophilus, I'm writing this to you and I'm telling you from the beginning of the ministry of Jesus Christ, even up to the point of his crucifixion and his resurrection. And then not only that, what was amazing that after Jesus rose again from the dead, the things that happened after that, look what he calls them. That after his sufferings, he made himself clear to the world, clear to those that were there by many infallible proofs. He said, Jack, that's a Bible claim. You're right. It is a Bible claim. And the Bible is very sensitive to the fact that it makes a claim, but it involves, listen, the eyewitness and the involvement of all in this world. The unbeliever has a testimony or a complaint or a criticism. The religious person has a complaint or a criticism. Eyewitnesses have a complaint or a criticism. The Roman Empire, on and on it goes. The Bible's not afraid. The Bible lays it out there, and the Bible says you search and see. To become a Christian is to have your faith founded upon the fact that God has presented to us. I thank God we do not follow fairy tales. We follow truth. We follow facts. And I believe, by the way, that's the only defensible reality that God has given us. Thank God he has is the facts. The factual event of the fact that Jesus Christ rose again from the dead was something that was so convincing to Peter, James, and John as we look at this portion of scripture that it affected them to the point, as we'll see, that they paid the ultimate price gladly because of these things being true. And so listen, please write this down. Following arguments that we can focus on, that we will focus on here in a moment, we're going to be looking at three human eyewitness accounts. You say, well, so what? I'm just asking you, write it down, three. Three eyewitness accounts of people who were there and what we're looking at regarding the transfiguration of Jesus Christ when they saw him transfigured in the holy mountain. When we heard the voice from heaven spoken, we have three eyewitness accounts that, mind you, if today was to be put into a courtroom trial, would be admissible. We have one sworn testimony that is a voice that echoed out of heaven. Three, we have historical documents that exist to this day regarding these events. We have one single fact claim. What is it? That Jesus Christ was transfigured in front of Peter, James, and John and recorded in the Bible. You say, how do these things affect my life? Why does it matter and how does it affect my faith? Well, it should greatly. Mark it down. Your faith is founded upon fact. Verse 16 tells us because it's not founded upon some story. It's not a story made up. It says in verse 16, for we did not, listen to Peter, old man Peter, we did not follow cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. This is awesome. Keep in mind, church, listen, at the time of the writing, just like it is today, but at the time of the writing, every ancient culture of antiquity, even to the day of Peter writing this, the Greco-Roman Empire had its deities and had its stories. Every generation has its stories. Listen, this is December. You can go to the checkout stand right now at the grocery store, and the stories are on the cover of the magazines right there about who's going to appear in 2020. That hasn't been, Elvis will return in 2020. All of these things that are out there, everybody's got their stories. Everybody's got their things. And people love stories. And so maybe you're here today and you might say, well, the Bible is nothing but a grand, elaborate story. Well, just go ahead and hang on to that for a moment. You've got an eyewitness declaring this one thing I want you to know. Remember, he's going to tell us that he wants us to know this before he dies. That's an important thing. I told you before that when somebody's about to die, they say important stuff. Hey, can I give you this as a side note? Maybe some of you already know this. When you think you're going to die, you say important stuff or you get ready to say important stuff. I was on a flight. I took one of our pastors years ago. We were invited to a fast and prayer gathering in Orlando, Florida. And we went there. We were fasting and praying. Christian leaders from all over America. And at the end, the last night, so we go to bed and we're sleeping, and I have a dream. And in my dream, which is weird, the dream was in color. I remember, I never hardly ever dream, but I remember it being in color. I remember waking up and remembering, well, I just had a dream in color. I didn't say anything to the pastor that was traveling with me. In the dream, we were on our plane flying home from Orlando to John Wayne. And we got over the Gulf of Mexico because that's the direction that you would fly. And the plane reached an altitude and there was an explosion on the plane. And I jumped up in my dream and I began to preach the gospel to everybody in the plane to get ready to meet Jesus Christ. Put your faith in Jesus Christ now. You've got seconds to repent of your sins and put your faith in Christ. And that was my dream. And I woke up and it was like, my gosh, that was so real. It was so real that number one, I chose not to tell the pastor that was traveling with me. Number two, I asked God, God, if this dream is from you, then it's of you. If it's not from you, then nothing's gonna happen. But God, if there's any weirdness that I'm missing and you're not in it, don't let us get to the airport. We get to the airport, we get to the gate, we get on the plane, we get seated, the plane takes off, we're over the Gulf of Mexico, and an explosion takes place on the plane. I unsnap my seatbelt, I get up and grab the back of my seat to preach the gospel. And before I was able to open my mouth, other explosions began to take place. You know what happened? All these kids got on the plane with these metallic Mickey Mouse ears from Disneyland, and the metallic balloon were put in the overhead compartments, and they expanded and they began to blow up all over the plane. Now you're gonna ask me, did you preach the gospel? No, I sat down, I caught my breath, and then I told the pastor I was traveling with about that dream. Listen, when you've come to the end of your life, like Peter is at the end of his life, he's gonna tell you, you're gonna say to somebody the most important things in your life, the most important thing you can tell them. He's not gonna tell stories. Hey, listen, I've got minutes to live. Let me tell you a story. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about truth, eternal truth. Things that matter, the things that are spoken about last at the end of life. All the game playing goes out the window and things get real serious real quick. And he says, I want you to know something. We did not follow cunningly devised fables. The word follow is the word. It's an interesting word. It means that we did not go down this path. I like that. Well, they all made it up, Jack. All these Christian writers, they made it up. Peter says, we didn't go down that path of making stuff up. Isn't that great? Holy Spirit anticipates that. It means that we did not go into any role play. Hey, Peter, you be like this, and James, you be like that. We'll invent this thing. We'll market Jesus, see what we can get out of it. It means to not cooperate in a plot or a scheme, to have no part of it. And in the word, in the English, it's two words. The Greek word is one word, but it's cunningly devised. The word means well-crafted tales. You know, you look at the books and the success and the tales of things like it's gripped the world. Harry Potter series. What are some of these other things? Lord of the Rings. These kinds of things. Fantastic writing. Fantastic imaginations. Fantastic insights into what people want to ponder. And Peter said, not us. That's not what we did. Not cunningly devised fables, not some grand scheme. We didn't follow some grand scheme. We didn't go down the path of making something up. In fact, he believes that so much that it's not far from his writing where he will be crucified for his message. Peter, upside down, inverted, mind you. And then the word fables, we get the word myths. We didn't follow these cunningly devised fables, myths. Now, church, listen up. The word in Greek is mythos. It's myth in our English understanding. It means the telling of a tale. It means to mix stories. That's an interesting statement because mythology is the mixture of stories, isn't it? Where it brings together the stories of man and the imagination or the stories of lore, and you have mythology. By the way, mythology is fascinating to study for a lot of reasons, but Peter said, we're not following these things. These are not made up stories, myths. Isn't it interesting that our culture today is just energized right now off of mythological creatures? Frankly, I've been around 62 years. I've never seen it like this. You say, what do you mean? Listen, we only used to have one, Superman. No, you just can't have one person saving the world. You got to have, what are some of the others? Yeah, Spider-Man came around a little later, didn't he? I don't know. Batman. There was the Green Lantern, Green Hornet, Flash, Iron Man. My favorite, Big Hero 6. He's awesome. You don't know who he is? Oh, man. You don't know who Big Hero 6 is. But have you noticed now? Thank you. That's where I'm going. Thor, now, the Avengers, everything. Boom. By the way, I was on a flight and Thor was on the plane. It was great. We got no service. All the stewardesses were just gawking at the guy. He was, nobody should be that handsome. It was ridiculous. We didn't get water. We didn't get peanuts because he was up there and everybody's looking at him. Thor, all of this stuff, all of these things. And we flocked to the theaters by the millions and we kind of lit. Oh, wow, wow, wow. Look at that. Whoa. And then we would say we have no mythological creatures in our lives. We are absolutely stimulated by such things. We're no different. Peter says, we're not talking about some Hollywood makeup thing here. We're not talking about some fad or some click. And listen to what Paul said at the epicenter of this in Acts chapter 17, verse 19. This is how Paul put it. He says, and they, the Athenians, took him, that is Paul, and brought him to the Areopagus, and they said to him, may we know what this new doctrine is of which you speak? Paul was preaching the gospel. For you are bringing some strange things to our ears. Therefore, we want to know what these things mean. And Acts 17, 21 says, for all the Athenians and the foreigners who were there spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear some new thing. Tell me a story. Peter says, I don't have a story to tell you. The message about Jesus Christ and the Word of God is not a story. It's an account of the facts.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called, Where is Your Faith? Part 3. Thanks for joining us today. And you know, just like a spring of pure water, you can let God's peace bring refreshment to your soul. Where is Your Faith? Part 3. It's part of Pastor Jack's series called Combat Faith, a study in 2 Peter. It's a series about the Apostle Peter, whose life was transformed by the salvation of Jesus Christ, and whose passion was to live out his faith as a messenger of the gospel. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. You know, Romans 8:31 tells us that if God is for us, then who can be against us? Still, even when we know down deep inside that that really is true, we often shy away from taking a stand for our faith. How different it was for Peter and the early Christians who boldly preached the gospel in spite of hostility and persecution. Combat faith, it's possible today. The more we know about the Bible and what Jesus has done to set us free, the less fear we're going to have sharing our faith. It's why Pastor Jack has his very own YouTube channel. You can stay up to date with the latest sermons from Pastor Jack, learn about all sorts of different topics when it comes to the Word of God, and also spend some time learning about our Christian worldview. Join the thousands who've already subscribed to Pastor Jack's YouTube channel. Be sure to click on the notification icon for videos he's recently updated. The name of that YouTube channel, Real Life with Jack Hibbs, and you can access the channel through YouTube or at his website, jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. here on Real Radio.